Going on, everybody? We are back with another episode of the Take a Chance podcast, episode number 53, I believe. As you can see, my co-host is not here today. He is out sick, but we got to keep it pushing. Today, we got Issa Mighty in the building.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Just kind of jump into it. You know, tell me a little bit about your upbringing. You know, what were you doing before music came into the picture? Were you into any sports or, you know, just anything as a kid growing up?
So growing up, I've been a gamer most of my life. I just play a lot of video games, and it's hard saying that because I'm trash now. But I just play a lot of video games. I play a little bit of sports. I did mainly swimming and track, and then I started weightlifting, and that's when I actually got the name for Issa Mighty because I used to go train like before school at like 5 a.m., and you know that became a part of who I was. And then from there, I was going to school, and I was just living a normal life, school, work, gym, you know.
Where are you from?
I'm from Yemen.
Okay.
I was born in America, though. I was born in Detroit, and I grew up here. I went to Yemen when I was 2 years old. I learned Arabic before I knew English, and then I came back to America, and then I grew up since then. Now I have broken Arabic, and I also have an accent in my English, so I'm screwed from both ways.
You said you were into video games. What kind of games were, you know, you into the college football game? Did you buy college football?
No, I wasn't too much into the sports when I was younger. I got into sports in like high school and things like that. But I used to just play a lot of Call of Duty. Like I wanted to be the GOAT. And then I started playing like, this was before everyone was streaming and stuff, you know, I just wanted to try to play competitive. And I remember the first time I got into a lobby with like real competitive, like I was trying out for, I forgot what clan it was. And bro, these guys were talking about you don't have extra buttons on the back of your controller. I'm like, bro, you guys are crazy. I'm good. I don't
the modded controllers. The
Like, I was good. Don't get me wrong. I was good in a public lobby. But, you know, public lobby is just public lobby, you know?
Yeah, I feel you. Just kind of jump into, like, getting into music. You know, what motivated you or inspired you to start making music?
Well, to be honest, music's always been... now that I look back as I'm a little older, music's always been something that's been around in everything that I'm doing, whether I'm driving around or just when I used to play, you know, video games in my room when I'm playing Call of Duty, I would have my iPod and I'd just be playing, you know, most of the time I was listening to like Eminem or Tupac, you know, when I was younger. And I just get so inspired by the music. And I remember, I have a vivid memory when I was like 13, I was playing Call of Duty and it was around the time that Eminem dropped Recovery. And that was the first time, like, I listened to an album, and, like, I was like, whoa, this is, like, a body of work, and it's, like, a movie, and I remember I memorized every lyric, and I was just rapping his lyrics, and even though they were his songs, like, I would imagine myself on a stage rapping it to a bunch of people, you know? And then we had, like, a poetry slam in eighth grade, and I started writing, and I'm like, yo, this is actually really dope, I like this, you know? And then from there, I just thought in my head, I was like, if Eminem could... If I know his flow, I could just replace it with my words and, like, I could rap, you know? And then from there, I just started, you know, making music and or just started, like, writing. And then I'd listen to other rappers, you know, Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, Nipsey Hussle, Payroll. And then Tupac and Eminem were my first two biggest inspirations.
So how old are you if you're listening to Tupac and Eminem growing up?
I was like 11 when I first started listening to him, but like 13 was, I remember being in the community center listening to Tupac Hellraiser, writing my poem for the poetry slam. And I remember I was talking about like what's going on like back home and everything. It's crazy because I've always been like a conscious rapper to some degree. Even my first poems, everything that I wrote about was always writing about what's going on in our world and our reality. I always seen rap specifically as a way to be able to speak about things that most people don't want to listen to or most people usually wouldn't talk about, but you could speak about it in a way where people are going to listen and people will actually be able to understand a different perspective and digest what you're saying, you know, and maybe learn something from it.
Yeah. Or, well, I was actually asking, like, how old you are right now.
I'm 25 right now. I just turned 25 the other day. Okay. I answered that because I was like, a lot of people usually tell me, like, you're too young to be listening, like, Tupac and Eminem. I was like, they're a good inspiration the way
right.
I see it.
I think it's kind of dope how you said, you know, you found a passion for writing before you actually found a passion for music. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they play hand in hand with each other, obviously, but I always kind of bring that up to other guests on this podcast, is like, did you have a thing for writing? Were you writing poems in, you know, English class growing up, and you're like, it kind of, it's easier to translate over to music, you know, because you find that rhyme scheme already, you find all that. I think that's dope, because that's kind of where I found a passion for music too, is I always enjoyed writing growing up. So to be able to bring that to music and, you know, bring that, like you said, that consciousness, I think that's dope. Tell me a little bit about Mighty Records, though.
Mighty Records, that's the record label, that's the brand. Asa Mighty is an artist. I'm an independent artist, but technically I'm signed to Mighty Records, and Mighty Records is the record label. And I've always grown up, and I always had it. It was like my dream to be able to have control over everything. I want to wear my own clothes. Like, I'm wearing my own shirt right now. You know, this is for the new album, Retribution, with me and Baby Lou. And I've always just wanted to have everything. Like, not everything as in a sense of, like, material, but I want to have control of everything. I want to create my own. Like, I don't like, so I'm into fashion, but I'm not into, like, I'm not spending thousands of dollars on a shirt. I think that's stupid, and I think that's wrong, if anything. You know, there's people starving. Why are we wasting so much? So I want to be able to create a great, amazing brand, but still make sure that it's affordable to people. And I want to be able to take things that people aren't able to have control over and take control over. And specifically with, like, music, it's like, if you get signed, the one thing, like, I'm a very calm person, I'll it's very hard to piss me off, but the one thing that I don't play about is my music. I'll crash out about my music. So if I get signed to a record label and they're telling me, yeah, we're not dropping your music or this or that, and they're just making it so hard, like, I'll lose my mind doing that.
Right.
So I want to be able to create a record label where I could talk about what I want to talk about, and I could bring on artists and let people be authentic, and people, you know, just put the art first and put the artist first, you know, and the money will come after. It's a new world where, you know, the people are able to take power back, especially with social media and the way that we're moving now. And I want to be able to contribute to that new society and be able to contribute to this new world where we're putting people first and the community first, and people are listening. You know, we don't got to force feed people garbage music, because that's what they're doing. But they're not going to be able to do it forever. People are choosing to be more conscious about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. People are, the independent route, I mean, it's, I'd say, more common than it ever was, mm-hmm. especially in today's age, like you said, the social media. I mean, and people are starting to wake up to that. You know, people are waking up to the labels not, you know, helping people out as much as they should, or, you know, just like you said, the control factor. I mean, they're taking a lot of your say away from your own art, and it shouldn't be like that. What you said was very well said. A few things about your albums. You got Home, Empowerment Theory, and then you got, like, the chapters of the seasonal book, mm-hmm. if you want to run through the names of the actual chapters, per se.
Yeah, so the original one, that one happened, it came out into three parts by accident. Originally, it was just, like, a quick EP for the winter. Like, usually every winter, I used to get, like, a seasonal depression, as people say. And it was like a 5-song EP. It was more like down vibes, you know, like more in your feels. And that was the first one. Then a year later came, and I was like, damn, I'm ready to drop another project. I'm like, but the energy of it, like, the first one was seasonal. It was called Seasonal Depression. The second one was seasonal. And then I'm like, this winter, I'm not going to be depressed. I'm like, it's going to be a season of healing, you know? So I called it Seasonal Book 2 Healing. And then the third one, the year after, that was like when I felt like I was finally becoming the person that I've been trying to be for the last, you know, 7 years, and everything that I've been building is finally coming together. That one was called Seasonal Book 3 Embodiment. So that was like the final chapter, like, I'm here, and now the story finally starts. So realistically, like, I have a bunch of projects, but, like, Seasonal Book 3 Embodiment is, like, in my head, it's like, okay, now the story is just beginning to get good, you know what I mean? So, like, the next projects are about to be insane.
But it won't be under that book, right?
That's the end. It's a trilogy.
Okay. So the book's been wrote. You put out a few singles. I want to say 5 or 6 singles so far this year.
I didn't even keep track.
I did my research before you came on. But tell me a little bit about, like, the new EP. Because, I mean, that dropped while we're recording this, I want to say 4 days ago. Right?
Yeah, officially 4 days ago.
July 16th. Yeah. Happy belated birthday as well. When people are seeing this, it'll be actually tomorrow. We're recording this the day before it comes out. But so, yeah, tell me a little bit about how that came about. You know, your relationship with Baby Lou.
Yeah.
The EP is called Retribution.
Retribution. Yeah.
Yep. The merch is on the tee right now. So if you want to stand up real quick, give him a little look.
So this is the cover on the back.
Is there anywhere that they can like purchase these?
Yeah,
or?
You could get them. I've partnered with even.biz. I don't know if you know who LaRussell is.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he drops all his, like, he does all his releases through them. And I partnered with them, so you could go on them, their website, and just purchase it through that site. Or you could just DM me at Esamighty, Esamighty, on Instagram, and I could take care of you there. But, yeah, tap in.
Links will be in the description for all that stuff.
Appreciate
but,
it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a quick listen, the 11 minutes, five tracks, or is it six?
Yeah, five tracks.
Yeah, so tell me about how that came about. I mean, before we started filming, you said something about it only took, you said, like, a day.
Yeah, so it's crazy because, so Baby Lou's my cousin.
And okay.
Like, we didn't grow up together. Like, I met him only a few years ago. He came, he lived in Cali. And he came and visited, and like that's when we got connected for the first time. He's like, yo, you know, I make music too, and blah blah blah. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, damn, not another person trying to make music. Because most of the people that tell me they make music, bro, they think they make music. You know what I mean? But then he showed me some of his stuff. I'm like, nah, you fire. I'm like, I know it's in our genes because I'm
running in the family.
Yeah, I have a few cousins that make music, and all of them are dope. All my cousins are dope. So. When he showed me his stuff, I'm like, yeah, this is real dope. And we had a couple songs last year. We put out a single together called All My Tears. We went to Chicago to shoot the video. But this time he came, this was in like January, I think. And he came in January and he was here for a few days and we just locked in. We're like, bro, we gotta record something, you know? And we just locked in. I had one of my producers. He's actually from Russia. His name's 4Karat.
Oh, wow.
I know, crazy.
How you connect with a dude
Instagram,
from Russia?
Instagram, bro.
That's
Instagram
crazy.
Connects everyone.
Crazy,
bro.
What
Instagram,
social media can do.
Twitter, all of that. Social media. But anyway, he sent me a bunch of beats and we're just locked in for 2 days. He came over. I have the studio at the crib. And we knocked out song after song. The next day we had a few more. We knocked off the last two. So I think it was total of 2 days. And then my boy Abbas mixed it all, you know, just over the next few months, whenever he had time. And yeah, we put it together real quick. And it's crazy. Baby Lou, I want to say this, the audience don't know. I don't know when it was exactly, how many years ago, but I think he was like 19 when he started listening to music. So
listening?
You're listening.
Not
to,
making.
Not
how
making,
old is he now?
Listening. I want to say like 22 or 23. So he's only been listening to music for like 4 years and making it for like two, you know? So I was like, nah, some people they just got it. You know?
How are you not listening to music the first 18 years of your life? Is it like?
It was more like he wasn't too much. He didn't care too much about it. And like, more like we come from a religious family. So it's like, it's not too much. Even my family, like me and my dad, my family likes listening to music, but they're not super crazy about it. No one really makes music like that. Like, I feel like me and my cousins are like the first generation to really get into music.
That's another thing I wanted to ask is like, where did that come from? Like, a lot of your family's solid at making music. You know, who do you think was who's the first one that really like started that?
So I actually have my great grandfather back in Yemen. You know, generations ago, he was actually a very big poet and a famous poet in Yemen.
That's dope.
So
that's dope.
So I know there's some form of art, and art is big in our, you know, in my family. Like, I have, other family members that could draw, aunts and cousins and things like that. So, like, we're all, I feel like, very artistic, but I feel like this generation with the, like, we're poets, but today's people aren't just poets, they make music now, you know?
Yeah, it's a different form.
Yeah, it's a different form of poetry, because all rap and music is rhythmic poetry, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't produce, or my cousin Sharif produces. He's done work for Babyface Ray and you know, all of them for a little while, but he's crazy with the production as well. So it just art in whatever shape or form comes with it. I guess we're blessed in it.
Yeah, that's dope. That's dope. You haven't dropped an official like album this year. What's your schedule look like for 2024? You know, videos, project, you know, other ventures even. It could be completely different from music, you know. Anything on the plate?
So right now I've told myself that after my 25th birthday, I said, like, this is a new space for me in terms of my audience. Like, I finally feel like I have a strong core following, a strong audience of people that truly believe in me and truly see the vision. And this year so far has been dedicated, like, if you've seen most of my singles were about what's going on in Palestine and things like that. So realistically, we're still talking about that. I still want to make more music for it while it's still in well, that's still the conversation until the war kind of, you know, settles down. But I'm also working on my album. I don't want to give
too much information.
I won't give the album title just yet, but I'll tell you this. I have songs that I've been saving for the last year, like for a while now. And it's like I'm really it's not coming out this year, though. It's going to be next year. I want it to be for next summer. I feel like this is going to be my first official album, like that I really, really, really put. Really built. I want it to be like a movie almost, right? You know, so all the work that I've put before, I put so much time. A lot of the albums that you hear, it takes about a year to make, or at least 6 months or things like that to really break down, because you know you'll hear different parts of my life in there. But this one, I really want to create something, you know, with it.
Yeah, I like that. That's the thing about albums that I feel like the average listener doesn't understand, is like it's supposed to be telling a story. It's supposed to feel like you said, a movie, you know, like. When I listen to an album or I hear someone's dropping an album, I'm listening to it from top to bottom in order all the way through, see how it transitions together, see how it flows. And, you know, like, I mean, Eminem's, for example, he just dropped a, you see how fast that car was going back there? But Eminem's album, I mean, like, he tells a story throughout, you know, and same thing with like Metro Boomin, for example, like, it's just seamless. You touched a little bit on the war, actually, and I'm not too educated on it. So I was going to ask, like, could you inform me on, like, if you want to talk about it, we can cut it if we need to. But like, I'm actually like genuinely curious about it, because like obviously there's a lot going on. Trump was almost assassinated, as people saw, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, if you could inform me a little bit about that, because I do want to be educated on it.
I love that you asked that. You know, because it's one thing. It's what I tell people. It's okay to be uninformed. You know, a lot of people. For me, like I grew up. I was born and raised here, but my people are from Yemen. So like this is very close for me. You know, and my cousins are half Palestinian. So we grow up around this. So of course we're gonna be informed on what's going on. And I can't blame you for not being informed. But you know, it's dope that you asked. So just to give you a rough breakdown
from the start. From like the start. Yeah.
So just to break it down. So back in. You know, people, it's not a religious war. People think it's like a Jews versus Muslim war or something like that. It has nothing to do with that. It's since before 1948, it was the land was called Palestine. You could go back and look at it. Even there's Bibles with pictures of the map and it says Palestine. People hear Israel. Israel is not the land. Israel is a people. Like people hear the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel was a prophet, and the 12 tribes were his children, you know?
Okay.
So when you hear Palestine was Palestine until 1948, after World War II. So when you hear about Jews have been persecuted around the world for a long time, you know, they have been, attacked and, you know, genocided, and with what happened in the Holocaust and all that, that did happen. And the one thing that people don't know and they don't tell you here in America is where it was usually happening was because of either Europeans, or usually Christian Europeans were the ones attacking them, and then they usually would find safe haven in Muslim lands. So it's not a Muslim versus Jewish thing. And then after World War II, or during the early 1900s, there was a Zionist movement that was coming around. You probably hear the word Zionism every now and then. Have you ever heard the word Zionism?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I'm sure I have, but like it's just not clicking right now.
So Zionism means basically, and I don't want to get too, I don't want to turn the whole podcast.
No, you're good.
I want to make sure I give you a thorough explanation. So Zionism basically is the belief that there should be a land for Jews, basically, that Jews deserve a land just for them, you know? And the funny thing is, the person who started the Zionist movement was an atheist, you know? But anyway, America offered them a few places, and Europe was trying to find a place for them because they wanted to get rid of the Jewish problem that they called, and that's what Hitler was trying to do. He wanted to exterminate them, and they were trying to do a bunch of things like that. And America and, you know, Europe was actually talking to the Zionist movement. They're thinking of giving them places in Africa or places here, and eventually they landed on Palestine. And then after World War II ended, all the Jews from Germany and that were in the Holocaust that survived, like they came on a boat that says Europe has abandoned us, please don't abandon us too, or something along that lines, to Palestine. And the Palestinians brought them in. They said, you know, we got you, you know, why not? There was already Palestine and Jerusalem. I don't know if you're religious at all, but Jerusalem is a holy land for Christians, Muslim, and Jews, you know, for all people. There, before 1948, Palestine was a land for Muslim, Jews, and Christians to all live together, you know?
Okay.
And then after all these Jews came in from, you know, they came in from after World War II, and then the Zionist movement started coming together. And then after World War II, the European powers basically had they started cutting up the Middle East, and they basically took the land that was Palestine, said, we're going to make it, now it's going to be Israel. It's these people's lands. And then they gave them guns, and, you know, they came in, they just started killing people. They displaced 700,000 people. Jeez. And basically took over the entire land, you know. And then there was wars that were going back and forth. And then eventually in, like, 1967, there was, like, a different kind of borders where they're like, okay, it's going to be Palestine, it's going to be these two small lands, and the rest of it is going to be Israel. And so these people have been basically, they let these people in, and they're getting kicked out of their land. And if you, you know, I'm not going to get into descriptions, but they've done every single horrible thing that you could think of in a way to do it to a human. They've been doing that to them for 76 years. And now, you know, most people didn't really pay attention to it, you know. And now within, you know, October 7, I don't know if you heard, like, what happened during the attack was basically basically Hamas attacked Israel, and you know, they, under international law, they have a right to defend, you know, to attack, occupy, and force, you know. So they're still fighting back. It's like, you're not going to be living on our land, and you're letting us live in this basically prison, because
right.
Gaza is basically a prison, you know. And they attacked them back, you know. And then Israel said, oh, they attacked us, and this was the first time they've ever been actually hit. So they're like, oh, it's disrespect, like, we have to show that you can't ever do this. So ever since then, since October 7, they've been carpet bombing all of Gaza. And Gaza is basically the size of Detroit, and Detroit has 600,000 people that live in it. Gaza has 2.3 million.
Jeez.
And over half, or almost half of them, are children, because they don't live long enough to be adults. Most of the people die before they grow up. So it's just kids most of the time living. There's so many orphans, and they've been doing this for 70 years, you know? And now it's like the world has finally opened their eyes, and the International Court, the ICJ, basically the highest court in the world, through the United Nations, just yesterday, finally, you know, they finally ruled against Israel. They called them an apartheid state. They all of their settlements have to be disbanded. And basically everything, they finally are, you know, it's on paper that they are in the wrong, and they've been doing everything illegally. So now it's like people have been saying, like, oh, don't talk about Palestine because you might get canceled for it. But now it's official. Like, if you don't stand with Palestine, it's as if you're standing with Nazi Germany.
Jeez.
You know? So that's where it's at. So that's why we talk so much about it, because it's like, for the last 70 years, we've been screaming and no one heard us. And finally, now the world has opened their eyes about it. And we got to make sure we continue to maximize this moment so that it's not just something that was a trend, and it's actually something that gets changed and frees the people, you know. And we're not calling for, and people will try to make it seem like we want to, like, they want revenge or anything. That's not what they want. They just want their land back and want it to be a land for all people to be able to live there, but under the Palestinian, you know, for it to be their home.
Yeah.
You feel me? So that's a quick rundown.
It's insane, dude. It's terrible what's going on to him. But thank you for educating me on that. I really do appreciate that. Just kind of tie back into music now. What's like an average studio session look like? Obviously, you touched on, you know, you're writing a lot, but do you ever punch in, or, you know, what's your average studio session or cook up look like?
So to be honest, I try to write all my verses. Like, I could write a verse, you know, play the beat and just write a song on the spot, but I don't like doing that. Mm-hmm. Just because a lot of times I feel like I force some bars just so I could go through. I like to take my time on songs. Every now and then I'll write a song just right there, but usually I'll get the beat, you know. I'll be driving around and I'll come up with ideas as I'm driving, and I'll usually be on the freeway. I know you're not supposed to text and drive, but I don't text and drive. I write lyrics and drive. I have my auto drive and everything. Anyway, I usually just come up with ideas as I'm usually on the freeway, just on the side road, just driving, you know. And I'll come up with ideas there, and then I'll get home, and then I'll fill the ideas as I'm recording. And I never force it, you know. I'll write as much as I have on the spot, and if I run out of ideas, I might go on Instagram, you know, come up with a few, not while I'm driving. I'll go on Instagram, you know, get some, you know, see if anything inspires me, or I'll just wait till later in my day, you know. I never force anything. That's my biggest
thing. I like how you mentioned that, because one of the questions I was getting ready to ask you is, do you ever get writer's block? And if so, like, how do you overcome that? For someone watching that might get writer's block, what's the technique that, you know, you've learned to, it might help to make
sometimes,
that next song?
Sometimes you do just got to write the bullshit. Sometimes you just got to write it out. But every now and then, like, if I know I'm comfortable, like, I wrote everything that I feel and I'm out of ideas, then I'll go take a break and come back. But sometimes you just got to sit at it. Sometimes you got to write a couple bars that's garbage. I don't delete them. I'll press enter. I don't delete, like, all the garbage bars or, like, all the bars I'm not using until I finish writing the song, just in case one of them gives me another idea just from the word in the sentence. Literally anything. Like, you could look at a color, or, you know, just look around my room, like, try to get inspired. I used to go, one of my biggest things when I first started making music, I'd go get coffee, park in the Tim Hortons parking lot, and just, like, I'll just be writing, and then, like, when I have nothing to write about, I'll just look around, and I'll see people coming in or out, and I'll see people, like, I'll just pay attention to how their face is, if they're having a good day or they're having a bad day, try to guess why they're having a, you know, make a story.
Make a story, yeah, I like that.
Just give me an idea, you know, just appreciate life, let life inspire you, you know?
That's what a lot of people say, too, is they're like, just go live life, you know? They're like, if you run out of things to talk to, it's because you're not living enough, so, or talk about, not talk to, so, yeah.
Go talk about, don't talk to.
For someone watching that may not be familiar with your music, what song would you suggest them to go listen to? Like, what's your personal favorite song you've ever made?
That's such a hard question because I have so many songs. And it's funny, you know, you asked me, like, when I seen some of the questions, I thought about this. I'm like, damn, what song should I say? But I think I'd say, if you want to best know me, I'd say it's called Breathe. It's the intro track to my EP, Don't Need Wings to Fly, which I also dropped on my birthday 2 years ago. Or no, 3 years ago, 2021. That EP, I drop a lot of projects because I feel like one song doesn't tell enough.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to know who I am, it's a 5-song EP. It's very short, but I feel like it gives you a breakdown of who I am and all the sides of my music, and it's called Don't Need Wings to Fly.
So it's not even one song. It's just the five that you got to listen to.
It's a 5-piece. I can't describe myself in one song.
What would you say your biggest weakness as an artist is? Like, something you know you can improve on and you want to work on, but it's just, like, not there right now.
Part of me wants to say discipline.
What do you mean by that?
It's part of me, because, like, I feel like I could be more disciplined on waking up earlier and being more focused and being, like, on point with everything. But at the same time, I feel like when I'm in a creative space, I need a little bit of leeway, you know what I mean? So it's like, sometimes I like to stay up a little longer because I might be inspired at night today instead of the morning, you know?
I saw something on Twitter, or X, I don't want to get canceled. I saw something on X saying people who tend to stay up later at night have a higher IQ than, like, the people who, like, wake up super early. And it's like, I was reading, like, the comments underneath, and they're like, yeah, it's probably because, you know, like, your mind just all over the place at night. You're thinking of ways to be better. And I forgot exactly what it said, but it was along the lines of that. And I thought it was interesting because, like, it's weird. I can, like, go back and forth from a night owl to, like, just a morning person. It's so weird. So I don't know.
Yeah, because I'm a morning person, but at the same time, like, when I was younger, like, by 12 o'clock, I'm out. 12 o'clock, midnight hits, and I'm falling asleep. But now that I'm older, like, I'll get to, like, 3, 4 o'clock, I'll still be up, sometimes 5 o'clock.
I feel like it should be the other way around, though, wouldn't you think? Like, as you're getting older, it'd be easier to fall asleep earlier.
That's what I'm saying, but I don't know. I'm developing to more of an artist, and I feel like as I get older, I also like my seclusion, you know what I mean, my me time, and I like it when it's quiet, and at night is when it's quiet. Like, believe it or not, my favorite time to do stuff is, like, you... I wish I could run my days at night, you know, and just, like, get all the stuff that I have to do
Facts.
During the day at night. Facts. Just because at night no one's on the road, no one's in my way, no one's calling me, no one's, you know what I mean? I could just go do what I got to do and, you know, get home.
I know. I've always thought about, like, if I were to do, like, a midnight shift, like, how I would like it, because I like to stay up throughout the night. I don't know. I think it's interesting. If you could make a collab album with any artist in the music industry, who would it be and why? Someone, like, that you don't know, like a mainstream industry person.
I already know who it is. It's either J. Cole or Kendrick Lamar. Those are my two favorite artists. Mm. You know, J. Cole, just because I feel like J. Cole's, I think his story inspired me the most. But he also produces, and I love his, like, his beats. You know, like, some of it. I go back and forth between, like, my styles, like who I'm closer to. Depending on which songs you're listening, but I get more references to Kendrick Lamar, so I feel like me and Kendrick Lamar would make probably a better album just because our sounds are similar. But J. Cole, I just like I like his production a lot.
Yeah.
You know? So it would be hard. It would be probably between them two.
For the people that are saying J. Cole's no longer in the top three or whatever, I can't stand that, because J. Cole's personally, I think he's a better rapper than Kendrick and Drake personally. personally speaking, I think his flow is way harder. I think his sound, like the way his cadence is, like I don't know, something about Cole I like way more than both of them for some reason.
I love, like, bro, I memorized almost all of J. Cole's music when I was younger. I'm older now, I forgot him, but J. Cole is the GOAT. And anyone who, you know, the only winner out of the Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef is J. Cole. You know what I mean? Everyone was talking about, oh, in the beginning when they said he apologized, they're like, oh, you know, oh, he's apologizing because of he's scared or whatever. It's like, no, he doesn't really got beef with either one of them. So right. Why is he going to jump in? It's not like just a rap beef where they're talking shit. No, these Kendrick Lamar called Drake a pedophile, and now Drake can't go for the rest of his life. Wop, 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 wop. You know what I mean? That's all he's hearing, you know? He ruined his life down here, you know? So it's like J. Cole's bigger than that, and even his music, you know? So it's like, he is, if anything, that elevated the status, you know. But I will give, Kendrick Lamar does have the crown. Don't mess with Kung Fu Kenny.
But don't you think, like, even if he doesn't have beef with either of them, that he still kind of should have entertained it? Just because Drake said something in one of the songs that, but you wanted Cole to stay out of the limelight.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like, just to entertain it more and give the fans what they want, just like
he
competitive rap, little, you know.
He gave us that one, but the thing is,
that 7 minute drill was.
It was.
That was my favorite song out of all the beef. I'm not gonna lie, that was my favorite song. Yeah,
I
it was
that,
up there.
I like the like I that the way an intro came in and how he used the Detroit beat. It was decent, but it was like he's talking about Kendrick Lamar's discography, and Kendrick Lamar's discography is like. It's damn near untouchable, you know what I mean? So it's like, even he didn't believe it. That's why he deleted it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like you say, like I said, you want to say competitive rap, but it's not competitive rap, and that wasn't competitive
rap.
Yeah,
that was personal.
Kendrick Lamar said, I think people like you should die. To Drake on that song. Like, it was a murder. It was a murder scene. That wasn't just about rap, you know what I mean?
That Meet the Gram song was eerie,
it was
dude. It was like,
I loved it.
You know, it was hard, but
said,
it was just like,
Dear Adonis, I'm like, oh, God. You
know? All right, this is my personal favorite question.
Talk to me.
5 dinner guests, dead or alive, can be anyone. Doesn't have to just be artists. It could be celebrities, comedians, athletes, politicians, your neighbor, your old dog.
This isn't going to be my official answer, but like this, I'm going to keep it as celebrities and all that, not being religious. But if I was to have dead or alive, I'd bring Jesus and Prophet Muhammad. You know,
Jesus,
I mean?
Was at my table.
You know, Jesus, Muhammad, peace be upon them both. And okay, so that would be 2. Shit. Tupac.
Jesus and Tupac at a table.
That would be great. Who else? Damn, that's crazy. Maybe Michael Jackson, that would be hilarious. Mm. Who else would I want to talk to? Maybe Nelson Mandela.
That's a good answer.
To be honest, Jesus and just the prophets alone, that would be crazy.
What are you guys eating?
Huh?
What are you eating?
We're eating some fahsa and lahm hanif.
What is that?
That's Yemeni food.
Okay.
It's like,
if you had to like compare it to something that
it's like lamb, it's like shredded up lamb with like potatoes, and like they put it in like the sauce, and then we add the sauce on there, and we got some bread, and then we got some like rice, and man,
sounds fire.
You got to come to Dearborn. If you're ever in Dearborn, hit me up.
Oh, that's where you're from? Is Dearborn?
Yeah, I live in Dearborn.
Okay, yeah. Like, that's not far. That's not far at all.
Go to any Yemeni restaurant. You could go to either Sheba or Sana'a restaurant. I think Oasis also got that kind of food. Any one of those 3, you know, and they'll bless you.
I'll have to come cook up at the crib, and then we can go grab some grub. Man. Let me try it. I mean, you already spoke on this pretty much. I could probably guess your personal top 5 favorite artists, but give me your answer, because I was going to say it's probably J. Cole, Kendrick, Tupac, M, and who was the other person you said? Was I close, though?
Nipsey.
Like,
it's weird because like I got those are my biggest inspirations, I'd say, but there's also artists like Vince Staples. I don't know if you ever listen to Vince.
Yep.
Vince is just so dope as an artist, as just a person as well, like with everything that he's doing in the music scene, and also he made his own show and he's getting into acting and movies.
I saw that.
Another very underrated one of my favorite artists is like NF. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's very away. The thing that I love about him is like he was talking about it in an interview. He's like I could go places and I'm not like super famous where I can't walk into a coffee shop. Maybe someone might recognize me. He's like, but the city that I'm, you know, in a random city, I'm gonna go sell out 20,000 people. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's legendary. And his music is like, it got me through a lot of tough times. So shout out enough. So it's like
he does make some really deep music.
Man, his music like it got me through some times. So I always gotta, you know, give him his flowers for that.
I'm not gonna say I'm the biggest NF fan, but I've definitely heard quite a bit of his catalog. I mean, I'm not gonna say I go back and listen to it all the time, but I definitely like what he's putting out for sure.
And then I'll say one more is like Payroll from the City.
Okay.
Payroll Giovanni.
Yep.
Like if you're having money problems, listening to Payroll Giovanni will increase your net worth by 15% automatically. I promise you.
I gotta clip that. That's funny as hell.
I promise you.
What would you say your favorite album is with no skips, start to finish? You can only listen to one album for the rest of your life. What album are you listening to?
That's crazy. Might be, I don't want to say Born Sinner. That one was crazy. Damn, but I don't know. After Kendrick Lamar's last album, that one's crazy.
Can you talk a little closer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just talking to myself.
You're good.
To be honest, I don't know. I don't have an album that I love that much. Probably Victory Lap by Nipsey Hussle.
That is a good album. That's a really good album. If you had a gun to your head and you got to sing every lyric to a song in order to stay alive, and it can't be one of your own, what song are you singing?
J. Cole, apparently. I keep my head high. It's been a while, though. I don't know if I still remember it like I do.
The final question. In the next 10 years, if everything goes as planned, where do you envision yourself? What other ventures do you want to branch off into? What do you see with the music?
Could I do 12 years?
Sure. Why 12?
12 years from now, I plan to run for president.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's the ultimate goal.
Oh, shit.
So it's like I got to become the biggest artist in the world, become a billionaire, create the net worth and the resources needed, learn enough about the social issues around our country and all the people that, you know, the people like us at the, you know, the bottom in the middle, and then run for president, win in a sweeping election, and fix the world.
Holy shit.
Yeah, 12-year plan.
I don't think we've heard it's that. Almighty. I don't think we've heard that one. Heard someone being a president.
Hey, this is, you know, what is it? When they let them know that they're running, their announcement. Yeah, this is my announcement.
Like their campaign type
of
deal?
Yeah, this is my announcement, my campaign announcement.
12 years from now, go vote for Issa. But I'm not even going to make that the last question then. Like, when did that come into play for you that you thought, like, oh, I want to be president?
I remember when I forget what grade I was in, but they told us, like, you have to be 35 to be president. And I think they said JFK was 42. And I did the math, and I was like, I'll be old enough to be president at 2036. Because I was wondering if anyone ever did it at, like, 35, you know? I was like, so I'll be old enough at 36, and that would make me the youngest president ever. I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to do it.
So where do you start? You know, where do you start if you want to be president? What do you got to do in order to get to the president?
If Donald Trump could do it, I could do it. He got rich. He became a billionaire. He had all the resources, and he said, fuck it, I'm going to run, you know? So that's all it is, and I'm not going to run as a Democrat or Republican. I'm going to run as independent, as in the – I don't have a name yet. I don't want to say one. That I have one, but I don't know if it's for sure. So we're gonna take it slowly. But like I said, right now that's a future plan. Like right now it's just developing this artist the reason I want to do that is I feel like I want to contribute to the world, and it's like I see it as like I look where is there a gap that I could fill in whatever I'm doing, whether it's music, whether it's, you know, anything, you know. And I just feel like we lack leadership, and it's like if someone else is better than me and wants to go and run during that time, please go ahead. I do not want the stress of anything that I do. But, you know, if no one else is going to do it, I'm the type of person where it's like, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. So right now I'm in a situation where it's like my role in the world is to contribute through music and make sure that I'm putting out inspiring music that helps people, whether it's healing, whether it's being introspective, whether it's teaching people about politics, whatever the music is, you know. And at the same time, I'm going to do everything to learn as much as I can. I'm also going to school. I want to become a doctor in psychology.
Holy shit.
Just to, you know, because psychology is always one thing, and I want to be able to make sure that my mind is good, because, like, the one thing that if you're going to go in this world, you have to have a strong mind, and I want to make sure that I learn about it. But at the same time, I don't know how much I trust Western psychology, because I'll be reading some of these books, and I'll be like, man, I don't know if I trust what you guys trying to teach me. You feel me?
So where are you doing that through?
Right now, I'm just going to HF, Henry Ford College, but I'm planning to either transfer to Wayne State or U of M. I'm trying to see which one is going to divest from Israel first.
You know? Oh, shit. That's insane, dude. Well, I'm wishing you nothing but the best of luck in that.
Nah,
you said something about the 35-year-old as the minimum age limit for the president.
Yeah.
Do you think there should be like a maximum too?
Yes, there should definitely be an age limit on fucking president. Why are you 80 years old being president, bro? Would you let
80 years ago was a lot different than what it is now.
Man, bro, how old is fucking Biden? I think he's damn near older than Israel, and the guy's trying to defend us. Like, bro, it's not a real place.
Yeah, that there definitely should be some type of cap. What would you put it at though? Like,
shit, retire at the age of 75, goddamn it. Like, you know, 70, 75, maybe even younger. Yeah, 75. But I feel like, you know,
once you hit that senior citizen level,
yeah,
it's like
I feel like there should be young, strong people, you know, 50, 60. Because at the same time, it's like leadership does need wisdom. So I understand older people being
the experience,
needing the experience and things like that. But just me being a young person who's always felt like, you know, I'm a young person I feel like I'm a little bit wiser than my age. So I know there, and I'm not even the smartest person in the world. So it's like, I know there's a lot of people that are in their 50s, 40s, you know what I mean? That are really, really intelligent people that could probably lead this country a lot better, that are more in touch with, you know, the younger generations, and also in touch of what's actually the reality of the country that we live in. Because a lot of people live in this palace, you know, and he's been rich for goddamn how many years,
right?
You know, Donald Trump said, you know, and hey, at the end of the day, I don't screw. I know we're not talking too much. Genocide Joe Biden, you know, so it's like if Trump wins, I'm all for it compared to Joe Biden. But it's like even Trump, what was he talking about? His come up. He's like, yeah, my dad gave me a small loan of $1 million. Bro, a small loan of $1 million. Give me a small loan of $1 million. I'll be a billionaire.
The things that I could do with $1 million, man.
I mean, like, I know you still got to do the work, you know, but that's a whole another conversation.
It's a lot easier to do things you want to do when the money is already there.
It's already there. And the reason I brought that up is because, like, yeah, you know, a lot of the working class people, we see Donald Trump, and people see Donald Trump as the hero of, like, America right now. And it's like, I get the patriotism that he brings. He's a showman. But at the same time, this man did not come from the same place that we did, you know. They have us running this two-party system where it's Democrat-Republican. Bro, they're both screwing us over, you know. It's like, when are we going to finally, you know, take the power back and, you know, really put the working class and the people like us first? Because
hasn't been that way for a while.
You know, it's like, it's hard to survive this. The economy is fucked up today. A lot of people are really ducking and diving, barely surviving, you know. So it's like,
I like that, ducking and diving, barely surviving.
You know, and it's like, we need to be able to create a world, and it's like, we can if we want to, you know. There's the third party system, and realistically, we are the people. The world runs the way we allow it to run. So if we want to tear down the system and build something better, we can. But it's like, most people aren't even ready for that. They say they're ready for it. They say they want change, but most people are not ready for change. So it's like, it's a long process, and that's what we're trying to do. So,
and what's crazy to me, I feel like we all need to be on the same page, mm-hmm, as American citizens.
Yeah.
But the two political party system, it's like, it's just dividing us even more than what it already is. You know?
I used to sell life insurance, and I used to go to people's houses, like, all throughout the state. And I've been in the most country, you know, secluded area where it's all Donald Trump flags and Make America. And, you know, they've never seen anyone like me. And I go and I talk to them, and you'll talk to them. They'll be like, bro, they want this. Everyone wants the same thing. Everyone's just trying to live, make a decent wage, take care of their family. That's it. That's
right.
What it comes down to. But then there's all this other political shit that they have us fighting about. And then
that really doesn't matter at the end of the day.
And realistically, they just do that to keep us distracted while they go and they keep creating wars. You know how much money they profit off these wars they take? And they're funding all of... That's why our economy is so fucked. And inflation. they raise the prices as much as they want. I never understand that. They're like, yeah, everything's getting more expensive because there's more money in the economy. Who's making it more expensive? We are. But why are you making it more expensive? You guys just had record profits last year. You guys are making all this money. You guys are raising all the prices. But how come you guys aren't raising no one's wages? You know, everything's more expensive.
I saw something
paid more. So where's the inflation? You're inflating it.
Facts. I saw something. It was like 20 years ago. It was like a line graph, and it was
inflation's a scam.
It was like assets and wages, and I want to say it was like the 90s or something, and then like to now, assets have gone up. I want to say it was like, I forgot the multiplied that it was. It was like 10 or whatever it was, and then the wages. Same, yeah. Pretty much the same thing.
Same or like and you're like 1.5. Yeah, stupid.
It's crazy. Sense. America, there just needs to be some sort of change. I feel like
that's the thing. It's like we got to be more conscious about it. You know, someone's like, you know, I know you said you don't like to be political, and it's like, or a lot of people say I don't do politics. You know, but I read a quote somewhere. Someone said it. They're like, it's either you do politics or politics is gonna do you. You feel me? Like, you have to be informed. You know, they cash in and they bet on you not being informed, you know, because that's how they win. How could you change anything if you don't even know what to change? You know, if
right.
You don't even know what's going on. Like, you're watching over here when all the action's right here. You feel me? They got us arguing about some BS when all the real important discussions are happening over here without you, you know. So that's, and we just got to understand, like, it's the human race, you know. That's we're all trying to get to the same place and have the same thing, and there's a very small amount of people that benefit off of us not being able to achieve a healthy life, you know. They benefit off of us living in this rat race and us trying to hoard as much as we can for ourselves and fighting one another while, you know, over crumbs, while they sit in their palaces and eat, you know, all they want and live such a disconnected life.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's why I like having guys like this on, because I learned so much, and you know, like, I like to be educated on stuff before I talk on it. Mm-hmm. So like, to sit down doing this podcast, I've learned so much from people that, you know, I never would have thought I'd learn. Mm-hmm. And just to sit down and hear this and meet you for the first time and just even talk about this type of stuff, it's dope. So I do want to thank you for coming on. Check out all of his stuff. Links will be in the description. Apple Music. You on Spotify?
Spotify,
Apple, Instagram, YouTube will be up there. I'm sure on all of his pages you can figure out where to get the merch.
Just DM me. I got you.
Yep.
I answer DMs.
Yes, sir. You did answer quick. We got this episode rolling pretty quick.
Yeah, you know, and it's crazy. This is the first time, like, I met him an hour ago, like, officially met him an hour ago. He DM'd me.
About 15 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah, literally, you know, so it's like, genuine people, you know, you attract genuine people when you're a genuine person. Put out good energy, you're going to receive good energy. You know?
Hell yeah. No. Damn. What was that?
Well, we're going to go check what that was.
Well, like I said, thank you for coming on, bro. Means a lot. Well, I'm sure we'll be working on something.
Definitely.
Like I said,
we'll have
I'm making
a couple
beats.
More episodes. We'll probably cook up some beats. We'll, you know what I mean? We locked in now.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, with that being said, that's episode number 53 of the Take a Chance podcast.
One shot to the title.
We'll see you guys next Sunday. Peace out.